Welcome to the C3 Church Podcast. Stay tuned for this week's message.
You know, and it's tonight, you know, we're talking a little bit about men and life and stuff, and because we've got our Real Men's Conference. But I don't want us to lose sight of the importance of the value of who you are. You see, most people today build their identity on three things. Men more so. But they build their identity on what they own, whom they know, and what they have. What you have in your world, the people that surround your life, all of these things frame up our identity. But is that the correct way to frame your identity? No, it is not. The identity of a person is framed more on the basis of the words which have been spoken into your life. And unfortunately, in our community today, our society today, the words which are spoken into young people's lives, even into our generation, weren't words which build or shape. So then we frantically went running around and again formed our identity just by doing, by activity, and our work became our identity, and everything that we owned became our identity, and all the people that we knew became our identity. But that was how we framed the knowledge of who we were. But that was never the intention by God to build our identity on that basis. Our identity is framed on the words in which we allow people to speak into our world. And those words will shape your future. Those words frame up an understanding and a position in our own life to have an incredible relationship with a living God, to have amazing relationships and with our own families, with our own future of friends and relatives. But again, those people that God is aligning to our future and our life. Those relationships are so vital, but it's built upon the knowledge of us knowing who we are. But so often, so many people, young and old, have never discovered who they are because they have never truly found out and allowed the words to shape their future. And you know, next weekend, we have a great opportunity through the Real Men's Conference to speak to young men, to speak to mature men, to see the two generations coming together, working hand in hand, seeing the value of both parties, needing each other. But in that place, allowing God to touch that individual, those individuals' lives, and again, reshaping and reforming the identity because of the words which will be spoken next weekend. So I encourage every single young man here, irrespective of age, come along, get involved. Don't just think it's for the old guys. No, it is for the young men to allow and bring the experience of the mature and to maintain the strength of yes to resonate, not just through their teen years, but for the rest of their life. That's why we're in partnership together, why we have Real Men, and why we do what we do for the men of our great church. Amen? That's what it's about. So let me go to this scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. It says there, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Isn't that such a great scripture? When I was a child, I talked. How does a child talk? I want. That's pretty much the dialogue of a child. A thought of a child. How does the thought life of a child go? I want is the thought life of a child. And then the reasoning of a child simply goes, I don't care. What is the common denominator in the response of a child? Simply, I. And nobody else. But when you become mature, supposedly mature, it's no longer I, it's about you. And let me tell you today, I have met many man-child type individuals. Men in their mature years, men who have been 30 and 40 and 50, and again, I've identified them. And why I say they are a man-child is simply because when you talk to them, well, I, not how are you, but I, and what about you? Oh, not, that's enough about you. Oh, back to me. Their conversation, their dialogue, their thought life, their reasoning, their all of their communication is simply about them. And some of the most challenging people in life, they can be the best looking person on the planet. But guess what? When somebody talks about themselves alone for 25 minutes, guess what? You know, after 5 minutes, I'm thinking, how can I get out of this? The conversation has quickly come to a close in my mind, but in their mind, it's just beginning. But at that moment, I'm looking for someone to just get a little bit of eye contact to say, love to hear more, but I must go. I want to get out of there. When we're so preoccupied with us, we are just outworking and outliving a childlike nature. And as I've said, I've met many people. I've met mature people who are living in 15 and 16-year-old bodies. And I've met children who are living in 45-year-old bodies as well. Irrespective of your physical appearance, it's what happens on the inside. And when we start to realize that when it's all about us, about the things that I own, the people that I know, the work that I do, if that's my whole conclusion of my life, it is a very selfish and small expression. Was God like that? I don't think so. God made a decision at the beginning of time that he would send his son for us. In heaven, many before the time of creation had even occurred, in heaven there was a conversation between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and the conversation sort of went a little bit like this. And you see, God is not into the I factor, he's into the we factor. Because if you're reading the book of Genesis, when it starts to talk about, and God got together and they said, and what shall we do? And how shall we do it? And what? It was more we than I. God is in the business of inclusion, not exclusion. And in this position, God was up there. And imagine if it sort of went like this. The Father stood there and says, look, boys, HG, Jesus, I've been looking, we've got a few problems downstairs right now. Everyone's going crazy. I mean, come on, we created and there and we sent Mo and the rest of the boys and the Ten Commandments and things are out of control and people have separation, there's division, people are doing their own things, people are babbling, they're off, they're heading off to China, other people are heading off to India, they're all going everywhere. We've got a little bit of chaos down there. We need a bit of order. We need to bring it back together. And the only way I can see us bringing this back, this order back together is simply that, again, we go down and correct their error. You see, son, Jesus, HG, they're just going ballistic in the sin department. And we need something to correct this. And the only way I can see is that one of us are going to have to go down there and give their life on a cross, go and give up all their power, all their authority for 30 years and just live just as a carpenter and look after a family down there and just be part of a family. No notoriety. The whole God thing's gone. You just give that up and then you're going to go there. No one's going to know who you are. You're just going to work just as a normal human being. Even though you are God, we know that. But the reality is that you're just going to be a normal type of guy. And when you go down there, you're going to find some friends who are going to love you one minute, then despise you and reject you the next. And then you're going to run across a whole lot of people who don't like you at all. And they're going to nail you to the cross and crucify you and beat you almost to a pulp so that, wow, no one's even going to recognize you after that happens. And then they're just going to top it up and nail you to a cross and drive huge nails right through your wrists and through your feet. And no one's going to want to know you. So anyone, any takers? HG? Jesus? Anybody? Not one word. The Father said, well, come on, guys, somebody's got to go. And Jesus said, well, don't look at me. Why would I want to go? I mean, what? Don't, Father, I know you're looking at me. I don't think so. And then HG over there goes, well, don't look at me. I'm the hovering guy. I hover over the planet. I just do the hovering thing. I'm the hoverer. I've done something. Jesus, he hasn't done anything. He just sits up here on the right side, right hand of God. And I mean, come on, why doesn't he go? Well, hang on. Wasn't it your idea, Father? Why don't you go? Imagine if that was the dialogue. Imagine if that was the discussion of God trying to resolve an issue upon the earth. Bit of a problem, hello? The fact is, it wasn't like that at all. It wasn't, well, what about me? I. No, I don't want to. No, I don't want. Don't count me in, Father. No. As soon as the Father mentioned, I think Jesus said, send me. Holy Spirit says, no, send me. There wasn't all about my position. You see, God is in the business of giving everything for us. He is in the business of giving all to us. God says, for we shall make man in our image, not just mine, but in our image collectively. A decision was made that not the I, but the we would come into place. And so often we see, and I see in young men's lives, again, that it's all about I, it's all about I. Why? Because they haven't had the right identity built into their world. They haven't had the framework, the words which are built into their life. Why? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 14, it says there, and Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church, he says, I am not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Jesus Christ, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. Such a great passage of scripture. You have 10,000 teachers, guardians, people who care for you, look after you, stand by you. But you have so few fathers. What was Paul saying? You see, you shape the identity of future generations, not just on the basis of information, but because the word of a father, of an individual who believes in you. And when that word is communicated to you as a man, as a young woman, when that word communicates a truth, it begins to frame up the identity in which God had intended for you from the beginning of time. That word shapes your future. Our identity is built because of the words which have been spoken into our life. And let me tell you, in our society, as I said before, unfortunately, there has been too few words spoken, or if words have been spoken, they have been words which have only tore down and destroyed future generations. The church is one of the greatest places to reframe, reshape, and redesign the lives of young men and women who are without understanding of who they are. You can't find it in an educational system, but you can find it when a group of people surround your world and begin to speak that word into your life. In Luke chapter 3, and I'm going to show you by simple demonstration of this here tonight in just a moment, but in Luke chapter 3, verse 21, it says there, and when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my son whom I love, and with you I am well pleased. Right there, we need to understand that before Jesus had done anything at all, Jesus again had come out. He in himself knew that he was chosen, that he was called, that again, that he was the Messiah, that he again, his Father was in heaven. He understood these things because of scripture, because of revelation. But during that time, still at a moment before Jesus even launches out on his ministry, isn't this incredible? Before Jesus launches out doing anything, the Father thinks, I need to communicate a truth of belief that my son knows that I so believe in him, because his identity and his understanding of who he is will determine the outcome of all humanity and all mankind. That word was just not a word stuck in the Bible. It was a word given to a son who was sent from the Father, and again, allowing that word to shape his life. What did that word do? Let me quickly run through that. It says, you are. What is the words? You are. You are builds identity, purpose, and vision. It shapes identity, a sense of value. It creates a value system to live by and develops character. The word you are in which needs to be spoken into a young person's life today are the words in which help begin to frame us, our life to go, my life is valuable. I am valuable. How many young people today have outworked their life and lived out their life saying, I can't do anything, I'm nothing, I'm a nobody? Let me tell you, God doesn't put nobodies on the planet. He puts people he actually saw, believed in, and created and formed. He does not put nobodies on this planet, not one. Everyone was formed with an intention and with a purpose. But again, the church needs to bring the awareness, then awaken within the people's lives, the young and the old, the importance of their life. The second thing which came out of that, again, as the Father spoke, he says, you are my son. What is the word my son? My son means this. It simply establishes a belonging. I'm always here. I'll never step away from you. You are part of family. You are part of community. You are a son and a daughter. You have a place, a tribe, a home. You have belonging. You know, every single week we come into church, and so often many of us and our families and our children, it's great seeing, you know, seeing our children and our kids grow up in the house of God and dedicating our grandchildren, seeing all this take place. Wonderful community is church. And church is such an important part of framing society and the value systems within society. But as people come into the house of God, and as I said, we're so often growing up in a great home. But let me tell you, there are so many people, young and old, who are coming into the house of God who have come from broken homes, which have no idea, no understanding of who they are. Why? Because no one has ever bothered to speak a word which has built and framed up who they are as a person. Their identity has not ever been shaped correctly. They have grown into a mature person, but they still don't know who they are. Again, the house of God is a place in which you feel community and belonging. And there are young people going to come through these doors, mature people who come through these doors into the house. And as they come into this house, all they're trying to do is to find a group of people who will just believe in them. That is the church. Jesus' whole intention, when he raised his hand without question, said, Lord, send me. I want to go to the cross because I so believe in them. That is the Lord and the God that we have. Do you know Christianity is the only religion in where a God chooses to come to us? Every other religion, we have to go to him. God comes to us. On what basis? He believed in us well before we even knew him. That's the beginning. That is the church. That is the future. You are my son, whom I love. What is the words, whom I love? What is communicated to a person when they hear those words? Whom I love creates emotional stability and strength and the understanding and acceptance of trials and challenges that will come their way, but will enable them to stand strong in adversity. It gives you an emotional strength. When the words love are communicated, it strengthens our ability, our emotional strength. It strengthens our ability on the inside to be A-okay. How are you today? I'm good. Why? Because I feel emotionally A-okay. Why? Because somebody loves me. Very simple. And again, why do we have a men's conference? Why do we communicate this message just not to the mature, but to the young men? Is because we want to see your identity formed and framed correctly, that we see your full potential realized, not on the basis that it happens, but because positive, powerful words are spoken into your life, which frame your future and set you up for your best life. Amen? That's what it's all about. And then finally, the last statement which came by the Lord, the Father said to the Son, and with you I am well pleased. What were those closing words? What were those words saying? Simply this, I so believe in you. I so believe in you. I so believe in you. I am proud of you. I am so encouraged by what you are about to do. I am so believing in you. What it puts on the inside of a young man's life, a young woman's life is this, irrespective of what happens, I know I can do it. Why? Because if my Father believes in me, I know I have the capacity to stand and fulfill all that God has called me to do. That is the church. But that ultimately is the expression of God to every single one of us today. The words of power which travel into our life, as I said, our identity today, and so many people build their identity on what they own. What do I own? The people that I know and the job that they do. But that is not true identity. That is just an outworking of life. Your identity is framed by the words in which are spoken into your life by people who know you and believe in you. Amen? I'm going to ask Nick LaGreca to come up here if I could. And Nick, a great young man in our church, no longer young, sorry to tell you, Nick, but you are maturing. But what we thought we'd do here, just to, again, and last year we did a part of this for a young man in our church at our men's conference, but I thought a lot of the young men, he weren't here like last year, would be a good thing to do, to show the power of such a words when it's spoken by another person into an individual's life, the impact and the power of those words. So I'm going to ask you just to call a few people out, and we're going to ask if we could get those stools up here and put on stage. And we just get a microphone if we could for Nick. That would be wonderful. But ultimately, what I want to show you here is that every single one of us, every single one of us, irrespective of age, and I've done this with mature men. And again, you know, Jake Betlem, you know, one of our pastors in our church here, I remember when his son Bryce was maybe even 10 years ago, at the age of about 5 years ago, it wasn't that long ago at all. But anyway, it was 5 years ago. It seems a long time ago. But Jake did that, and he asked myself and Scott Dawson, I think, and it was Jeff Berry and a few other guys who knew Bryce. And he said, look, I'd love you to come and we'll have breakfast together. And I'd like to just sit there and just speak a word over Bryce's life. So we came along and we just prepared something and wrote something down. And in doing that, I thought, good on you, Jake, because that is the very action which unfortunately doesn't happen so often in families today. But it is because a father loved the son enough to spend the time to speak words which will shape and define his future. Now, Bryce is over in San Diego. He's over there ministering powerfully, doing a great thing, working in the life of the church, got a great future in front of him, because I believe one of the reasons is that his dad saw the value of getting men around to speak a word into his life to shape his identity and his future. So well done, Jake. Sweet. Thank you, Nick.
Jazzy Richards, going to come up. Pastor Rich, Tom Gilbert. And me. Sweet.
Tom, Juzzy, that's good.
Awesome. Tom, do you want to sit
grab
over there?
Grab a seat. You Pastor up here, Jake? Rich. You up here as well? Is this it? We've got the crowd.
This is it.
Yeah. Perfect, done.
A bit of musical chairs going on.
You mind sitting over there, Rich? Is that okay? We'll just leave that little seat there. And
sweet.
Yep, you sit there.
Very good.
Oh, look, we're missing somebody. Oh, who might this be? I think we should call up a young man, someone who might be well known here in church, and a great man who's been around and pretty much grown up in the house of God, one might say or think, you know, possibly, and part of the Gilbert family. So could we have Jack Gilbert? Where are you, Jack? Yeah. Woo.
Come on, Jack.
Well, it's been a wee while since I've seen Jack. He's grown up. Last time he was running around, I was trying to shake him off my leg. But anyway, good to see you, Jack. Man, how old are you? About 30. Close, anyway. But what I've done, you know, and I don't want to embarrass you, and I'm sure I won't, but if we do, tough luck, that's the way it goes. But the reality is, I just thought I'd get a couple of guys and your dad as well to get up here and use it as an illustration. But it's not just an illustration, because I know every single one of us, if you ever come to church, you're not feeling great, and someone just comes up to you out of the blue and just in church says, hey, you're looking fantastic. Guess what happens? You feel fantastic. You don't feel fantastic, but just a word, the power of a word, can bring change to your circumstances in a moment of time, because a word has framed a new line of thinking and position in your own life. So what I've asked these gentlemen to do, Jack and everybody, is to actually just to identify a word and just to briefly speak about what they see in your life as a young man, what great value they see in you, what great qualities they see in your life. So take it away, Nick.
All right. Hey, Jack. You do look good today, by the way. I just like what you've done with your hair. It's really good. No, but I see you're a man of great faith. You're a man of great character, and you're a man of great commitment. I see that that scripture, how you've taken everything that you've done and done it with all your might. I see you rising to the top of your field because of that hard work and that commitment. I see you being an example to the young men, even older men, of how to actually work hard in His power and His grace, how to work hard and actually rise and be successful like Daniel. And, yeah, you're a legend. We love you,
very
mate.
Very good. Very good.
Well, Jacko, I've known you since you're a little tacker, and this boy was wild. We'd go to a party, and if there was somebody, if there was a house that was two stories high, he'd be on the top of the roof, and we'd be hoping our kids are not following him up there. But our kids do follow him now. He's their leader, and my son's in his Connect group, and I am so thankful to God that you're his leader. And, you know, what my son says about you is you're faith-filled, you're bold, you're strong, and you're a prayer. And I'm amazed at what God's doing in your life. But I've seen you serve these guys without fail for, I don't know, probably 8-10 years. And without fail, whether I see someone who's faithful in the small things, faithful behind the scenes, God's going to make you faithful with much. And I'm really proud of what you've done. This guy works in the Bible Society. He's going to travel to some remote places where Bibles aren't supposed to go and do all sorts of things. So he's really bold, and he goes into schools and he does all sorts of things that nobody knows about. So give him a hand.
Yeah, wonderful.
Just going to ignore you and just gaze deep into Jack's eyes. I've known you for years. I remember when I first came into this church, you were a leader back then. And I've seen so many of your peers, guys that started out with you, they've wandered, they've wavered, they're not here anymore. But you've just remained steadfast. You're a dependable, faithful, deeply committed guy. And on that basis, I know you're going to change the world. It just stands out. Like, you got this gentleness, but also this strength about you. Like, you carry yourself in a way where you look like a strong leader, but you're also a compassionate, servant-hearted guy, which is the perfect mix of how Jesus taught us to lead. So, yeah, I just know that you've got huge things ahead of you, and yeah, you're awesome.
Well done. Thanks, Chazzy.
I guess as a family, we have a heritage of two things. One was, good looks. Make it three then. it's a heritage of serving the Lord and loving God. And the second one, much to my wife's disappointment sometimes, was football. That's why I limped up on the stage here. And I passed those things down to my children. But Jack has always been amazing. Yes, he was a bit of a rascal bubby, very active and full of life. But through everything, he always just loved God. Even from a little bloke this high, he loved God. And we've got four kids, and in some ways, I always saw Jack like that's one of those ice-breaking machines that just cut through the ice. No matter what, as Juzzy said, a lot of his friends through school that were hit in this church here are no longer here, but Jack stayed faithful. And he was an icebreaker for our family. And he's one of the reasons that all our kids are in the house here. And I just see incredible strength over your life, Jack. I see broad shoulders. You'll carry many people on those shoulders. I see leadership is all over you, influence. I see prosperity, blessing, marriage. Now we always joke about three girls wearing pink and dancing, but I'm sure there's a soccer player there somewhere. So I just see a blessed life. I'm very proud of you to be my son.
Well done. Very good. So Jack. So, you know, you hear from, Jack, you're hearing from, you know, guys who you've known, yep, been in your life for many, yep, years, which is wonderful. And, you know, I hear all the words. I like, you're a great example, faithfulness. You're a man of great faith. You're strong. You're steady. I mean, people look up to you. And, you know, you've got to say it. Some of the greatest words that anyone could hear, you know, in a family from a father is to be able to communicate a simple truth like, and I'm really proud of you. I'm pretty sure that's what the father said to Jesus. I am really proud of you that you are willing to go and do for humanity. But a father loves a son enough to put the right words into the right context to shape a young man's life. But the words in which have been spoken by people who believe in you, there's no question, this is a believing moment. And we pulled this together. We haven't spent months, I'm sorry, Jack, pulling this together. It's probably, to be realistic, probably an hour. But in that hour, I can guarantee, if I'm wrong, please correct me, but you're going to ruin a great message. But in that, I would say that simply by hearing words of what other people believe in, it causes you just to sit a little higher. It causes you to hear their words and say, I didn't feel I was that faithful. You know what? I'm just going to lift my game. Simple words which are communicated to us help shape our life, our identity, to actually rise and become the person that other people see that we could be, but more importantly, how God sees our future. So how did you feel from the words in which those have been spoken?
Yeah, awesome. I think like each of the things that each of these guys all said have really been the things that I've seen in them as well. And it's something that I've tried to emulate out of them. Like with Nick, you know, the Bible talks about we need to have our Aaron and her, you know, our mighty mountain and our great friend. And for me, Nick is my mighty mountain and he's my man of faith. And so whenever I feel, you know, bit down or as we do, I go to Nick because he's a great man of faith and he's someone that I look to. And Rich, one of the, you know, the greatest things that he's taught me was to wait on God.
Very good.
And so when I remember you telling me that on one trip down Morgan Road, you know, the importance of just 30 seconds before you wake up every day to wait on God. And that's something that gentleness and just finding that solidity in God is so important. For Juzzy, something that is his message is on the Holy Spirit. And I know that's also my mum's, but yeah, the importance it has, like both pretty much the same, but learning to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit is so important. And I think, yeah, I think that's something that's probably a little bit lost sometimes, to just waiting on God and listening to him and being surrendered like that. Yes, Lord. And listening to the voice of the Spirit. And Dad, you're not as much as forward as these guys are, but you know, I've watched you, you know, just do your quiet stuff at home, you know, and working. And yeah, it's inspiring for me. And just to show those simple character traits. And for fathers out there, you don't necessarily need to be forward. And, you know, just because you're not saying, you know, I'm pleased with you, because that's kind of a bit weird sometimes. But I'm going to be honest, all right? But, you know, just doing the simple things every day, you know, going to work, yeah, loving your wife, playing football, exactly. But doing those simple things for us as teenagers, I think we can all, you know, going home to a safe, loving family is so important. So that's my little challenge for the parents. But yeah, seeing that, just thought I might help you out. Just helping you guys out, you know. We're friends, okay? That's what we do. But yeah, for Dad, like, you're someone that I've looked up to for all my life, just that simple, consistent. And that's, like, I think that's one of the main comments that you guys said, and that's pretty much, I'd say that's from you, that commitment and consistency.
Wonderful, it's great. Yeah. Well done. To me, just in that little moment, you know, and, you know, this is a little bit different, guys, and I know, and, you know, we're doing church. No, we're not doing church. We're actually having experience together about why church exists. You know, people, as I said, people come in the doors here, and they come to church, and they're a part of church. They're part of a family, and other people have never been to church. We'll come in those doors. And the unfortunate part that people can come into a larger church but never actually have a word which is spoken, which shapes and designs who they are and puts them in a position of being open to God. And every single one of us had that opportunity every single week to be a voice of encouragement. So many people say to me, Pastor Greg, you know, I just want to get that prophetic thing and be a prophet. And then I said, good on you. I said, how good are you at encouraging? No, it's not my gift. I said, you'll never be able to speak a positive, powerful word through the prophetic unless you actually have a simple ability to encourage others. Because encouragement is the rawest form of the prophetic. It starts in the house. And the church, when we say is a prophetic place, it's a house of encouragement which builds the lives of men and women, young and old. Amen? Let's put our hands together for these guys. Thank you very much. Wonderful. I'm going to ask the band if they could come back. You doing okay? You okay, church? A little bit different. But really, I just want to bring to your attention, you know, we have our Real Men's Conference next week, and it's not just for the old guys. And, you know, and young guys, I want you to hear this, but it's about a partnership. And in just a moment, we're just going to draw this service to a close. But I have an altar call here, and on this altar call, I'm going to ask for the young people, if you maybe, you're 18 years or younger, I want you to come and stand out, as you stood before, to come and stand on this altar. But then I'm going to ask some older people to come and stand, just to rest their hand upon your shoulder as you stand on this altar call. And I believe simply here tonight that in a moment of transaction, something will take place. Because one thing I've seen amongst young men and women growing up in a great house, and I mean, you couldn't grow up in a better house, I think, than the Gilberts' home. Tom and Wendy, great, faithful people. Incredible. Believing their kids. Kids are kids. They have their moments. They have their challenges. They have their highs, their lows. You know what? Mom and dad will never stop believing in you. They have to bring correction sometimes. But the fact is, they'll never stop believing in you. But I want to see the church, Pastor Phil and Pastor Chris's heart, Mark and Bernie, the team here, is that we see a church where people come through those doors. And you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But again, the church is a place where they feel the life and the power of an encouraging word in a challenging time. Those words are critical for lives coming to the knowledge of Christ. People find Christ because someone has taken the time out of their world just to be interested enough to say, "Tell me a little bit about you." The person who has no understanding of their identity would just talk about themselves. But the person who has found Christ understands the importance and the value of words which have been spoken into their world need to be communicated on to future generations. Our church is a great church, let me tell you that. Why? Because this place is probably one of the most encouraging places on the planet. Because people here believe in you. How does that all start? It starts because we have an understanding of why we gather. We have an understanding in our gathering here tonight that Jesus went to the cross and he said, "Lord, whatever be your will, I'm happy to do, because I so believe in these people that I'm willing to give my life for them." Jesus gave his life because he believed in you. You say, "But my world, my circumstances, my life." When Jesus believes in you and you feel the power of that belief when you ask Christ to step into your world, you find a sense, a knowing, a hope that possibly you have lost. But I do know, when Jesus steps into your world, your life will never be the same again. Because at that moment, you truly discover who you are, in Jesus' name. Can we all close our eyes right now? And tonight, our identity, seeing through illustration of men speaking just a word into a young man's life, but words they believe in. But those words shall define his future, his belief in himself. And here tonight, with every eye closed, when Jesus went to the cross, he said, "Father, I give my life for them because I believe in them so much." And the crowd would say, then would speak against him who was upon the cross, who had rejected him. But Jesus was unmoved in his attitude. But I have given my life because I have loved them. Why? Because I so believe in them. And here tonight, I want to say to you, there's no better place, no better time than feel the impact of a word from a living, loving God saying, I believe in you. And that happens when we as individuals acknowledge Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. So right now, with every eye closed, I don't know where you are in your relationship with God, have no idea. But Jesus knows exactly where you are in your relationship with him. Or you may have known him and you've stepped away in your own heart and your life isn't right with him. I don't know that. But Jesus knows exactly where you are in that relationship with him. So if you've never given your life to Christ or you've stepped away in your heart, in just a moment I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and you'll be simply saying, Jesus, I thank you that you believe in me and I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. I want to get my life right with you. So if that is you, you need to get your life right with God, or you need to come to the knowledge of asking Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Right now, I want you to lift up your hand in this place. Just lift it up really high so I can see it. Lift it up really high right now in this place. Just lift it up. And as you lift your hand, you're acknowledging and saying, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. Just lift your hand in this place very quickly here tonight, church. And as you thank you very much, lift your hand really high so I can see it. And as you lift your hand, you are not just lifting your hand to me, you are lifting your hand to him, to a living, loving God who simply says, thank you very much, young man. Lift it up really high. There are a number of people here tonight who need to lift up their hand and say, I just got to get my life right. Just lift it up really high. Anybody else? I don't want to take any more time because I need to just move in this last part of the service. Just lift your hand very much, very quickly now, very quickly. There's a young man over there who's raised his hand. And young man, can you just look at me? Just at the end of the service, can I pray with you down the front? Is that okay? If you come down the front, I'll pray with you. But there are seven other people who need to make that decision here tonight. And I want, Crystal, you should come and stand out here and make your life and correct that area, part of your life which you're being challenged in. You're wondering whether you should. You should. Why? Because God has given his life for you. And Crystal, you know that you need to get your life repositioned correctly with him. So can we stand right now? And just in these closing few minutes, I want every young person in this place, if you're 18 or younger, I'd love you to come and stand out on this, just on this carpeted area at the front, on the altar. Just come and stand out here right now. If you're 18 or younger, come and stand out the front right now. Just stretch out right across here. This won't take long. But in the worship before, I felt like the Lord say, every single young person that is here tonight needs to feel the hand of another resting upon their shoulder. Just make a couple of lines right across the front here. Now what I'm going to ask is the young people are getting their life in this line here. They're just lining up. I want, just wait a moment. Just set another line, a second line just behind them. That's great. You okay, church? Just stay with me. Just a few minutes more, not long. Now I want you to step out of your seats here if you're obviously older than 18, but I want somebody to step out of their seats and come and stand behind them and rest a hand upon the shoulder of these young people here right now. Just quickly, church, just come out, just step out of your seats. Someone just think that every person on this altar, every young person on this altar feels the hand of another person resting upon their shoulder right now. Very quickly. every person to feel the hand of another, 18 years or younger, resting upon your life. I want everybody else in this auditorium, I want you to stretch out your hands. The power of encouragement, the power of a word is amazing. But the reassurance of a hand laid upon the shoulder is simply a representation to every single young person in this house that Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. He will always stand with you, irrespective of the circumstances and challenges that you may face. And Father, I ask of you, tonight as we stand in this church, as we stand upon this altar, as all of us in this place, we are aligning our hearts in a position of cooperation of the young and the old to stand upon an altar that we work together. But more importantly, Father, in our agreement to stand with one another, let your hand upon this younger generation through the hand of another tonight be the point of reassurance that their God, their Lord, is with them and he shall never forsake them. He will never leave them. He will always be with them. Let our Lord and our God, for him who gave his life for us, that all of us thank our Lord and our God. Let your name be exalted, Father. Let your name and your life be exalted in these lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Even in these last closing moments, a reassurance has been placed in the hearts of the young. Their identity is being shaped and formed in a way where their confidence shall allow the resonation of yes, Lord, to last all the days of their life. Jesus, you are the Lord. You are the Lord of all our lives. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You are our Lord. Our Savior. let your name be exalted in all of our lives here tonight, Father. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. We work together. We live together. We enjoy the future together. And we are one with Him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, everybody. Let's put our hands together and thank the Lord. Kaylee, thank you very much.
Thank you. Can we thank Greg? That amazing word. So incredible. We love you, church.
Thanks for listening to the C3 Church podcast. Visit us online at myc3church.net. Join us next time for more great teaching.